Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, can I interest you in an obscure little indie game? It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with ya. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark. How's it going?
It's going great. You and I have known each other for many years now.
Yes.
And I was...
At least 10?
At least 10. And I realized earlier today that I don't think we've ever seen each other cut a rug. I don't think we've ever seen each other... boogie down.
That we've never been in a place where we've both been dancing. Is what you're saying.
I don't think so.
Okay.
How are you as a dancer?
Well, so I have no formal training in dance.
Uh-huh.
But I'm an enthusiastic dancer.
Yeah.
If I am like at a concert or something that I am excited about and it is a dancing style concert, then I will go nuts. And if I'm at like a wedding,
Unstoppable.
I'm unstoppable. Mark, I'm sweating through my tie every time.
As I've gotten older, I realize that I dance like my dad. It's like 90% shoulders.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, I can see that.
Yeah, but it's...
Never been to like a party together?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, and maybe we have, but we were not like... dancing in the same space, but that feels unlikely to me.
Unless we were like playing mind games with each other and like I'm gonna dance but I won't let Mark see.
Possible, I guess.
What made you think about dancing and about us dancing?
Do you know what? I couldn't even tell you. Something must have sparked it,
right?
But I don't know what it was.
I'm tempted to be like, was I doing something over here that seemed like particularly like rhythmic and physical?
No, I was thinking about this earlier today. This was not something that was sparked by anything that's happened before we started recording.
Well, I mean, here is one thing, is that it is not easy to dance and podcast at the same time.
It's not. Listeners don't know, but we've tried a lot.
We're always trying.
Constantly trying.
And not that we only see each other when we're podcasting, but it's a twice a week commitment.
Yeah, like, we see each other a lot.
We see each other
podcasting.
A lot for podcasting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it means that we don't like get together to go dancing.
No. When's the last time you got together with someone?
I mean,
that's
never. Never. It's a nightmare scenario to me. Mark, speaking of nightmare scenarios, that's a bad way to set this up. If people would like to support us, they can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where if you are supporting us at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once-a-month episodes of miniseries that we are making our way through. We are currently doing so with NCS Arcade.
Right, where Patrick and I are playing games that are available on Nintendo Switch Online. A Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack that we've never beaten before. And in April, we are playing Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Genesis.
And I think maybe now is a good time to say that episode's going to come out just a little bit late.
Programming note.
It's going to come out in early May.
Yes.
Due to
scheduling conflicts.
Yes, scheduling conflicts. But it will still happen. And there will be a separate episode for May.
Yes.
So we're still going to get those five. And then we haven't announced what episode 5 is yet, right?
No, we haven't.
And we've definitely not announced what episode 6 is. But 6 we've got a plan for.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right. But we're keeping that a little plan to ourselves. Anyway, you can check out the Patreon if any of this is of interest to you. Also, if you would like to join our Discord, you can email us at nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com. And I will send you an invitation. And you can hang out in the Discord and talk about stuff. But you won't see us dance in there. We don't do it.
No, I think that's a promise. A guarantee, even.
That you will never see us dancing on
Discord.
That's interesting. Do you think there's video of you dancing anywhere on the internet that someone could put in the Discord?
I genuinely don't think so.
You did a fair amount of musical improv for a while.
Yeah, but...
Not a lot of which was recorded.
Right, exactly.
And you probably weren't dancing much in that, like, other than just, like, a little...
Yeah,
a little shimmy. I don't know. All right, Discord... Ninja Turtles, I got books out if you're interested in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle source book. Check those out. Issues 1 and 2 are available now. 3 comes out in a little bit, so pre-order that if you're interested. Mark, we've got a debug from earlier this week. 4:33, we were ranking the toys in Andy's bedroom, and we left out a big one.
Yeah. We left out Ham.
We left out Ham.
The piggy bank.
The piggy bank. The evil Dr. Porkchop, as Andy likes to make him when he's playing with them. I got to say, in our defense, piggy bank, bad toy.
Yeah, bad toy. I wish I could say that was the reason we left it off and not that we just forgot.
We just forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
but I agree. It would have been low on the list.
It would, but lower than Bo Peep? I don't think so. Right?
So what exactly, how does Bo Peep...
She's a lamp.
Uh-huh, but then she's not a lamp?
Well,
she breaks off from the lamp?
She's like part of the lamp, right? And she can like step away from it.
Oh.
And then she has sheep that are like 3 sheep.
Yeah.
But they cannot separate from each other.
Yeah. Okay. And it's all coming back to me now.
Okay, good. And I think even in like the fourth movie when like they get sort of explored and like blown out, that the sheep are still like a single, like 3 different consciousnesses in like the one creature. I think it's scary.
It's kind of funny.
Okay. all right, Mark, we've got an Indie World Showcase to recap, so let's get to it. Little bit later than we were expecting, originally for an Indie World Showcase, right? We thought this was possibly going to happen in March.
Yeah, I feel like that's what the rumors were indicating. But then looking back historically, there's been one... in April, and I think last year's was in April,
yep.
And then the one in 2022 was in May. By the way, this is different than what we said on Tuesday we're going to be doing on today's episode.
That's true.
Yeah, we said we're going to be doing Metroid's greatest hits.
Still going to happen.
Yeah, but the Indie World Showcase happened.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about that now.
Who are we to not answer the call to adventure and recap an Indie World Showcase?
But yes, you're right. A little bit later than the rumors indicated it might happen, but on schedule for what we've seen in years past.
Right. So, Mark, does this mean that we are back on schedule and February was just a fluke?
I am no longer reading anything. Like,
right,
the tea leaves,
right.
I've decided are meaningless.
Yeah. Whoa.
I am just becoming a stone in the river, and I'm letting the Nintendo news wash over me as it is wont to do.
Yeah. There was some discussion in our Discord today of like, would we ever, as the news seems slow, would we ever scale back to doing just one episode, skipping the news episode during the week? And I pointed out in the Discord, and I'll just point out here that the news is only slow until it isn't, right? The very first episode of this podcast that we released was one called No More NX Rumors, because Mark, you and I guess just between us, were sick of talking about whatever the Switch was going to be without having any like concrete information about it, right? Because all we had were rumors at that time. 2 weeks later, the episode we put out is called Finally the One About the Nintendo Switch. So like, that's it. And from then on, like, we had something to talk about. So it just worth noting, the news is only slow until it isn't. And today we've got this thing to talk about.
Yeah, the Indie World Showcase.
It was this morning, 7 o'clock, Los Angeles time. That's right, West Coast time. I'm a mess right now.
Pacific time.
Thank you. They said it was going to be about 20 minutes. It ended up being a little bit longer, right? Maybe like 22, 23 minutes. All indie games. Mark, did you have any expectations going into this?
No, because I feel like we're long past the time that I know of indie games that I'm expecting to show up in this thing. I feel like, you know, Silksong is the white whale of, I guess, indie releases. It was revealed years ago, drips and drabs of updates here, but really
not
much.
You and I saw it at Nintendo's booth, E3 2019.
And just a day or two before the Cindy World Showcase, it was rated by like the Australian ratings board.
Right.
And so, and I think a page showed up on like Xbox website or something. And so I there was some anticipation that maybe this was the day that Silksong would finally have some sort of release date. And if that were to happen, when that day happens, that and Metroid Prime 4 are like the two things that are out there.
Yes.
That were announced for Switch but are not currently dated.
Do you think there is a world where Metroid Prime 4 doesn't come out on Switch?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
That they just, like, cancel it, or that, like, it just comes out on the next thing?
I think that it comes out on the... I think it's possible it comes out on the next thing.
Just the next thing. No, yeah. No backward, no back compat.
I think it's possible, yeah.
I think it is possible, too. I forget when we'll... This is where veering pretty far away from indie world at this point. But I forget if when they announced it originally or... the original announcement for sure said, like, in development for Switch, right?
Well, it was announced so early in the Switch's life.
Yeah.
That I think you're right.
Yeah.
That it's always been talked about for Nintendo Switch.
Interesting. But that, Mark, that it's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the Indie World Showcase from April 2024.
Can I get something off my chest about Indie World Showcases?
Yeah.
I think I'm done with the format.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any good ideas. This is the problem. It's never good to complain about something and not have any suggestions on how to improve.
Yes.
But I don't think I like the format. I don't think I enjoy the format.
Yeah. Well, so which part of the format are you bumping against? And I think it's okay to say all of it, because... Because there are kind of like two key features of the Indie World Showcase, as far as I'm concerned. Key feature number one, hosted by Amber and Tyler, or any two disembodied voices reading like incredibly corny jokes over gameplay footage. So that's like feature number one. Feature number two is some arrangement of the development team introducing the game and doing a little bit.
Which, and the thing is, like, academically, I understand the purpose of both parts.
Yes.
And I love the idea of being introduced to the developers, putting a face to, like, the people who are making these games, because a lot of these indie games are passion projects,
sure.
You know, they're labors of love, they're ideas that sprung from people's own lives and experiences. And so I think that there is something very cool and very valuable about being able to put a face to the developers and kind of understanding, hey, this game that I've poured everything into, you know, this is where it came from. This is the cat that inspired it. This is,
sure.
You know, the craft work that, you know, my mom did that made me think of this and inspire this game. Like,
yeah,
I think all
absolutely.
Of that is really cool and really valuable. There's just something about it, though, that, like, the whole, I find it, I don't enjoy it. I don't like sitting through them.
Yeah, and I don't use this word a lot in my daily life. It was ground out of me from doing UCB, but the skits they do bug me. Like, we're there to learn about their games, and, like, these are craftsmen who are great at making games. And it's like, oh, now here's also, like, a 45-second scene that, like, I don't need to see.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I don't
it's,
really.
No, I don't. Yeah,
I don't
mean it as like a criticism against them necessarily.
And I just don't have. I don't have a solution.
Right.
You know, like we saw Europa. That person was just kind of like straightforward. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, I'm just kind of explaining what this game is and the genesis of it, and I thought that was totally fine.
So, but also wholly unmemorable. Right? Like,
yes.
You when you said, this is the cat that inspired this game, or these are the designs that my mother made, I knew exactly you were talking about Little Kitty Big City and Stitch.
Yeah, but I don't think either of them actually said those things, but those were the games I was thinking
right,
about.
Right, yes. But, I mean, yeah. that was, like, sort of the shape of the, you know, like, I can picture those people in front of their backdrops or, like, in their little Zoom call, like, recording these things. So, like, there is something memorable that I just don't like that much.
I think for me, it's just, like, when these showcases started, it felt fresh and, you know, like, a new way to present these things. But now it just feels really rote. It feels like everybody's going through the motions. You have, like, we know we're going to have the two narrators, and they're going to tell corny jokes. We know we're going to have to sit through these skits, you know, with from, like, developers of varying quality, and sometimes they're just, like, really long. You know, like, it just feels like there are no... It feels like everybody's just going through the motions.
Yeah, it used to be dangerous, man.
It used to be different. But it's not anymore. You're right, you know, we've had an entire generation, almost 10 years of Indie World showcases. And maybe it's time to retire the format and try something new.
Speaking of different, I will say the look of this one was different. The Indie World showcases have been traditionally very, like, white and red. Sort of the same color palette as the Nintendo Directs. But there was a lot more, like, brown and sort of, like, construction paper sort of, like, look to just, like, the graphics package that accompanied this thing. I wonder if that is also... Because people were calling out the new graphics package at the last Nintendo Direct, and I wonder if this, too, was, like, originally intended to be an Indie World showcase that, like, the graphics people at Nintendo had gotten the new graphics packages ready for Switch 2 or whatever.
Oh, that's interesting.
And or just like, well, we got the new graphics packages. Let's just push them out. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I wonder if it was just, I mean, they've been doing these for a really long time. And so, you know, because it was an incremental update. It wasn't like a whole new, a completely, like, new look.
Do you also remember that when these things started during the Switch generation, that they were called Nindy
showcases?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were, like, confusing. Get rid of it. Okay, we don't like it.
Well, they were hosted by that one person who, Damon
Baker?
Yeah, something like that.
Right, and then there was another guy.
He went to Xbox, and then there was another guy for, like, an Indie World showcase.
Right.
And then it's and then they were the like, disembodied voices.
Yeah, back to disembodied voices. Does saying skit feel like a swear word to you?
I mean, it doesn't feel like a swear word, but it definitely feels like
it's a forbidden word.
It's negative. If you're using the word skit, it is not with love.
No,
you know,
no, it is not.
Like, that was a cute skit is probably the meanest thing you can say.
It's pretty mean, yeah,
to an improviser.
Or sketch comedian. Yes. Yeah. All right. Mark, let's start running down these games.
Yep.
First up was, we mentioned it already, Little Kitty, Big City, which is coming out, May 9th. And it is, pre-orders are available now. We have seen this one a little bit in previous.
We saw it a year ago in the April 2023 Indie World showcases where it was revealed.
Yeah.
And so here we are a year later, and it finally has release date next month.
And this is, during the opening skit, which, was the three developers, like, on a Zoom call, and one of them had a filter on to look like a cat. They talked a little bit about how the game had grown in scope since it was revealed last year. And, you know, that's partly to blame for why it's been a year and this thing is coming out. I gotta say, it did look like a more, like, full featured game in this showing.
I think it looks really cute.
I think it looks really cute. I do think it's funny that they shout out, like, cat customization in this, because it's really just you can put a different hat on the cat.
I mean, that's a pretty good trick.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
but it's the same little black cat, no matter what.
You talking about? I know. I'm sorry. I'm going back to it.
Yeah.
Their banter in the opening.
Yeah.
Do you think that they are responsible for writing it? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, do they like pitch ideas to Nintendo and Nintendo's like, do this one, but then they're kind of like on there? Like, how much collaboration do you think they have, or how much is it left to their own devices to be like, hey, you've got 90 seconds. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Nintendo, like, reserves the right to be like, no, you can't do that. I bet there's, because everything, all those things are scripted, right? Like,
totally.
There's obviously no, like, off-the-cuff commentary and no improvising in those things. Like, it's obvious. So I bet Nintendo approved scripts. But I
bet you're right.
But that's probably it, right? Like that it's not them being like, you have to do this, you have to do this, or like they're probably not making weird demands of the scripts.
Right, but do you think they like offer like editing help or production help? Or is it really...
I would guess no.
I would guess no as well.
Because they're all like... This Little Kitty Big City one was just a Zoom call, right? And like later on, we'll get to one that was just like four people in a static shot, like staring at the camera while one person speaks and the other three smile creepily. So yeah, I would guess there's no real.
But I have so much sympathy
help.
For that one as well, because like,
sure.
What do you do if you're one of the other three people?
Yeah, what
I you mean, have nothing to do but smile.
Get a line. Everyone should get a line, or don't be in the shot.
No, I don't know. I'm sympathetic.
That's one I feel like we can fix right here and now. Have a line or don't be in the shot.
Okay, Little Kitty Big City.
Yes.
I think it looks cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's also coming to Xbox and PC. I like the opening. Okay, I think I've talked about on the show before that, you know, my husband and I, we were like, when we were dating, we're like, we're dog people. Yes, dog people.
Yes.
And then in the past year or so, we've just been sending cat videos back and forth to each other on in our messages. And so we have become cat people. And so the opening of this game, or that they showed where it's like the cat is taking a nap and then like falls yeah. off. It's like, oh, that's a reel that we would send each other.
Right.
Like that was that's right in my cat video wheelhouse.
It's also very nice that the whole game seems to be like full of gentle cat mischief.
Yes.
Like a little bit. I remember a couple years ago there was that game Stray that came out on PlayStation.
Yes.
Where like you played as a cat. I mean, Little Kitty Big City truly could have been the log line for that game, except the big city was like Robot City and everything was kind of bleak and wet. And, you know, this looks like that sort of filtered through Untitled Goose Game, but like harmless.
Yeah, it looks just very like all age friendly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Up next was a game called Yars Rising.
Yar.
Coming out sometime this year, 2024, from WayForward mm-hmm. and Atari. And this is the first time. Patrick, I think we have to ask the question,
what is indie?
What does it mean to be an indie game?
What does it mean to be an indie game? And does a game being published by Atari count?
Right.
And like, I think Atari, yeah, you could probably make the argument that Atari is small enough now that like,
yeah, because what is Atari now other than just a like IP
chain of
Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a great question. Like, what is Atari at this point? Is one of those like IP knots that you can't untangle?
But like, and WayForward, they're an independent studio. They're not owned by anybody,
right?
They've worked with Nintendo, but I guess they also publish their own stuff, like the Shantae games. But yeah, so it's from WayForward and Atari. It's a sequel to a 1982 Atari 2600 game called Yars Revenge, which I had never heard of before, but apparently is well regarded. In that game, you played as like a bug that...
Is that like the sprite that she has tattooed on her arm?
Yes, okay. I think so. And then, that was kind of like almost Space Invaders,
sure,
you know,
like a single screen shooter kind of thing.
Yeah. But this is not that at all. It looks kind of cool. You play as a young woman, Emmy Kimura, and it looks kind of like a stealth puzzle platformer.
Yeah,
action game.
Kind of like a less intense version of the Emmy sequences from Metroid Dread. And I'm not just saying that because her name is Emmy.
Right.
But maybe I am. But like a side-scrolling, kind of stealthy, kind of platforming. It also looked like it was jumping into a couple like single-screen pixel-based like shooter kind of scenarios from time to time. So I don't know. This game seems cool. I'm very interested in it. The movement of the character seemed a little slow and heavy. But... maybe that's just a bad like first impression, and you know it'll actually like control smoothly. I'm interested in Yars Rising.
So when I was doing a little bit of research on Yars Revenge, the original game, I saw that there's been a couple of ports and sequels over the year, and one of the sequels had you playing as a young woman in like mechanized power armor.
Okay.
And then I saw that in 2022, the creator of the series said that they were working on a sequel that was coming in 2023 that takes place in the Yars. I think Yars is like an alien species name. So like the Yars training ground. So this plus, it makes me wonder if that's what, if this new game Yars Rising is the fruit of that, or if this is something totally different. But the fact that this also stars a young woman,
right?
And this doesn't appear to be the Yars training ground. It's the Kotech Corporation. But
well,
I wonder if this
the
is,
footage that they're showing us now.
That's right. But I don't know. I could be reading too much into it, but I'm like, is this like a Metroid Dread scenario where he had this idea for a long time and now just finally has the means to fulfill the vision
might be.
For what this could be? I don't know.
Yeah, seems cool. Then we move on to Refined Self, the personality test game, which has a very like kind of limited color palette, a very like sepia tone kind of thing. A Time console exclusive coming out this summer. From Lizardry and Playism. I'm just going to read this blurb here from the Nintendo PR. In this exploration-based adventure game, you take on the role of an android, the creation of a now-deceased doctor. There are no right and wrong choices on this journey, and every decision you make reveals a little more about who you are. So they showed off like kind of different like character classes or like occupations that you can like take on, and then like different decisions that you make as those different classes.
So the way that I understood it is kind of like the reverse, that you're going through the game and you're interacting with people in the world, and
the game is giving you a job,
you're making decisions, and then based on those decisions and things that you're doing, you are crafting a path for yourself, and at the end of the game it reveals which one of the 23 different personality types like crafted for yourself through the choices that you made. And then you're able to like share with friends and compare with other people who are playing the game like your personality based on the decisions you made versus theirs. So I'm wondering if it's like a fairly short loop that
it's a good question.
Emphasizes or encourages replaying to see, oh, if I make a different choice, how does that affect like my personality at the end?
Do you think it is like just judging your like your answers, or like judging how you as a player make the decision for the answer? Like, can it sense you like waffling back and forth between two options?
Yeah, or that would be interesting.
Taking a long time to like pick one and then be like, they're unsure about this aspect of their life.
That would be cool. Yeah, I don't know.
And then next up was Sticky Business, which is a timed console exclusive. I believe it's on Steam now, but it is also available on Switch now. And it is coming out with DLC available right now as well. It's a like art-based game where you run a sticker shop, and you design stickers for clients that come in and ask for specific things, and then you sell the stickers. Seems cute.
The next game that we saw was Anton Blast, a Time console exclusive arriving November 12th, but a free demo is available now.
So let's talk about that release date. November 12th?
So it's a ways away.
Do we have another game on the game release calendar further away than November 12th?
No, I think for Nintendo Switch, this is the furthest out.
For anyone.
That we know,
Do we have any other games have release dates later than November 12th?
Do you mean in life or on Switch?
In life.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no idea.
I thought you were going to like have an example.
No.
I'm just saying that's a long ways from now.
Well, it's also, I think it's the furthest, definitely the furthest one out that has a date, because some of these are just undated 2024. Definitely the furthest out, I think, we have it for anything that's releasing on Nintendo Switch. But also interesting, nothing at all for 2025, because sometimes in indie world showcases you would get thing, and you know they said this up front in the announcement for the indie world showcase, they said that there'd be games for this year, for 2024.
Yeah,
but occasionally you would get teases for things that it's like it's not coming out until the following year.
Yeah, I didn't get
any of that.
I feel like that's more that's less the providence of an indie world showcase though, because like an independent developer doesn't have like shareholders that they need to be putting out, you know, trailers for games that come out a year from then. So, and also, indie game release dates are so soft anyway that, like, I don't know if I believe November 12th. Like, you know, maybe not.
I guess what I'm getting at is, do you think that it's because we have examples here of games that we saw announced on an Indie World Showcase in 2022
right,
that were announced for 2023 and are coming out in 2024. Do you think that the fact that there is nothing announced for 2025 is because
Nintendo has canceled 2025
because of new hardware?
It's not happening.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're like Grinch Christmasing it.
That's
it's
right.
It's just not happening.
That's right.
We're gonna skip right to 2026.
They saw us singing a song of joy about 2025, and they said no.
Yeah, they
not
saw
on my watch.
They saw those like whatever it was Eurogamer articles about new Nintendo hardware in 2025.
Right.
They're like, we will show you.
Yeah, we don't have to put out a new system if the year doesn't exist.
But do you think that has any connection at all to the fact that, you know, like a new hardware, I don't know, anything.
Right, could be on the horizon. I mean, it's also just kind of like, well, why not like still reveal it for Switch and the next, you know what I mean? Like, just because the reveal trailer doesn't also have the new Nintendo hardware on it doesn't mean that they can't like get a second pop from
right.
being like it's also optimized for the new thing. So no, I it is curious that 2025 was not mentioned here at all, but I don't think we can look too much into it.
Anton Blast though. Okay, I'm also going to read the blurb. The devil himself has stolen your prized spirit collection, and
yes.
you're on a rampage
yes.
to get it back in Anton Blast, a
yes.
dynamic action platformer that combines destructive action with gorgeous hand-drawn pixel art. Wielding the mighty hammer as Dynamite Anton or the massive mace as Dynamite Annie, you'll lay waste to wacky worlds and go toe-to-toe with brutish bosses, smash up the scenery to forge your path, and find new areas to explore. After reaching the end of each level, a detonator will start ticking down, so you've got to rush back to the beginning before everything explodes.
So, from looking at this game, it looks an awful lot like a Wario Land-like. And that last little bit of description of you reach the end of the level, there's a countdown timer, and you've got to run back through the level as fast as you can to escape, is straight from WarioWare, or Wario Land Shake It.
Yeah, which was released on the Wii, so
yeah.
it's been at least 15 years since,
yeah.
maybe even longer since
probably longer,
a
yeah.
new Wario Land game has existed. And I think it's super cool that there is an indie game. I feel like the characters in Anton Blast seem like they are Wario taking up another notch in anger and
yes.
another notch in like crudeness, possibly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think that's great. This is probably the game that I'm most excited for
yeah.
out of this Indie World Showcase, because I would love to see what an indie developer does with the inspiration of a Wario Land like.
Yeah. And there is a demo available right now, even though you got to wait for till November 12th for the game itself to come out. But I'm very interested in checking out the demo. I've not had an opportunity to yet. The trailer was cut together a little manically for my tastes, especially considering that the game itself feels fairly manic. So it was just like multiplied by itself. So yeah, I just want to like check out some gameplay, and yeah, I'm very interested in this one. And Anton Blast. Next up was Valley Peaks, which was this the one that looked an awful lot like A Short Hike?
It does look kind of like A Short Hike.
Comes out this year. Here we're gonna read the blurb from Nintendo. Valley Peaks is a first-person rock-climbing platformer set in a pastel mountain range filled with riveting villagers.
You're a frog.
As the new technician assigned to the peaks, explore to your heart's content and attempt to overcome seemingly impossible challenges between climbs. You can chat with the froggy folk and take on small side quests, like filling out stamp cards for equipment unlocks. Alternatively, kick back and relax with minigames as you tend to the needs of the valley's inhabitants. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the description for A Short Hike as well. I don't know, it looks cute.
Up next was Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which we have seen before.
We have seen it before.
It's launching first for consoles on May 26th, so not that long. And this is from the developers of Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yes.
Which was released on the Switch, I want to say maybe in 2019, maybe 2020. It was, and that was a game, it was like a rhythm game, that I was excited for. For whatever reason, the like gameplay itself didn't click with me. The Lorelei and the laser eyes looks pretty cool.
Look, I don't know if we did this when the game was first announced, but can we just like bask in the glory of the name Lorelei and the Laser Eyes?
It's really good.
It's a really good name. Yeah, I thought of you immediately when this trailer started playing. I was like, oh, this is a Mark game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Totally. You play as a woman summoned to participate in a project in an old hotel somewhere in Central Europe.
Right. Is it even a game or is it just Mark's dream?
It becomes embroiled in a game of increasingly nightmarish and surreal illusions. Mm-hmm. The third person adventure features over 100 handcrafted puzzles with shifting mechanics and perspectives, each of which leads players closer to deciphering the enigma. Yeah, I'm super into it. I'm excited for this one.
And May 16th, not that far away.
No, not at all.
It's like 3 weeks. And then you can be playing Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. Next up, we saw Europa, which coming out sometime this year, is... I'll read some of the blurb here. A demo is available now. I believe I have it downloaded on my Switch, but I really want to check it out. Quote, on the moon of Europa, an android named Z sets out in search of answers behind the mystery of a fallen civilization. In this 3D action platformer, use Z's Zephyr's jetpack, I was going to say Zetpack, to glide, fly, and boost across breathtaking landscapes full of lakes, meadows, and mountains. Solve puzzles and navigate hidden dangers amongst the ruins as you discover the story of the last human alive. I am sort of blown away by how this game looks.
It really does look very beautiful.
It has that very, like, Breath of the Wild open world, very colorful, very bright, a slight, like, cell shading to its art style. And, you know, because it's a big open world near this little dude with a jetpack, like, he can kind of go anywhere, it seems. It seems beautiful and open and chill. And the guy that introduced it, the developer that introduced it, said that it was all about like getting into meditative flow states of exploration. Those are the things that I want in a game. So I'm very interested in Europa.
Now, the next game is another.
Hold on. I want to stay on Europa one more second. I was also struck by how much it looked like the little bit that we have seen of that Visions of Mana game. The next entry in the second Densetsu series, which is not coming to Switch, possibly coming to the next thing, we don't know, that it is also very bright, very colorful, very open, and it just seems like maybe we're finally getting to the point where other developers are catching up to like the ethos of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom and putting out their own games that are similarly like chill, look at this big vista and explore it and it's pretty and all that kind of stuff.
Am I wrong to say that this next game is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hades?
No, I do not think you're wrong. I mean, I think this is probably going to be less good than Hades, but TMNT Splintered Fate is a roguelike game where you're playing from that like isometric view and it's like very hack and slashy. Yeah, but it's multiplayer, right? So you can do
You can up to four people
at a time, and then like drop in, drop out co-op. So, you know, it adds that sort of like quintessentially Ninja Turtles gameplay to what looks an awful lot like Hades.
And this was just me being lazy. It is in fact called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Splintered Fate.
Yes,
comes out July of this year, and this is another one where it's like, what does it mean? What does it mean to be an indie game?
What does it mean to be an indie game? Can you get a Nickelodeon license and still be an indie game? Also, this is a game that came out on Apple Arcade previously. Are there, I guess there are indie games on Apple Arcade, but like, yeah, I don't know. What is indie, Mark? We don't even know anymore.
So this is just the like console.
Yes.
Version of this. Yes. Of this. Oh, interesting.
So like we could be playing this game now if we were, you know, hooking up controllers to our phones. But Mark, I'm not doing that. look, I'm up to my eyeballs in Ninja Turtles at the moment. So whenever I see the Ninja Turtles, I get this like flicker of recognition where it's like, oh, that's your life's purpose right now. So I got very excited seeing this. I don't know if the game is gonna be any good. I don't know if it is any good.
Mm-hmm.
But I am absolutely going to check it out when it comes out in July. Next up is Cat Quest 3? Not Cat's Quest?
I think just Cat Quest.
Okay, just Cat Quest 3, which coming out August 8th of this year. Pre-orders and a demo are available now. I feel like we see Cat Quest games coming out all the time.
Yeah, you know what? I thought I have never paid attention to Cat Quest before. And
wake me up when we get to Quack Quest. That sounds great.
But Cat Quest 2 was released in 2019.
Okay.
So it's been a while. Been 5 years.
That's a long time, yeah.
But yeah, I've never paid attention to these games.
Not like Hollow Knight to Hollow Knight. Silk's a long, long time, but you know, a long time.
I've never paid attention to this series before, but I thought what they showed looked really cute.
It did look cute. I feel like when a trailer for a Cat Quest game pops up, I've got my like, yeah, right. You know, like, go ahead, impress me. I don't think you can. But yeah, I don't know. This trailer did look pretty cute.
Yeah. And the reviews of Cat Quest 2
okay.
are pretty good.
All right.
So, I don't know. This comes out in August.
Yes, August 8th.
Yeah.
Next up was Stitch. This is one of the games that, Mark, you were alluding to when you said, like, these are the designs my mother worked on. This looks like it is, so it's a console exclusive. It is available right now. And it looked to me an awful lot like Picross, but with like stitching.
Yes.
Yeah. And not in like a clear square shape, mm-hmm. but you know, in dealing with different shapes, it tells you how many of this color are, you know, next to each other, and you have to choose which ones they are.
And this is one that exists now as a mobile game.
I believe that is true, yes.
And feels like touch controls would be the ideal way to play
probably,
this.
Probably, yeah.
But it did look very fun.
And the in handheld mode, the touch controls are enabled on Stitch on Switch. So, yeah, they're doing right by that there. I think this looks cool. I'm interested in Stitch. But, you know, it's like a even remotely Picrossy, like, I'm going to be interested in it.
Up next was a sizzle reel where we saw 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Bzzz, which is BZZT. Mm-hmm. Don't know how you're supposed to say that.
I think you gave 2 perfectly good reads of it.
And then Scheme?
This one is harder.
Capital S, capital C, capital H,
little I,
capital M.
Yeah.
And you play in that one, you play as like a shadow thing.
Like a shadow frog.
It's jumping from shadow to shadow. Mm-hmm. Looked like visually looked cool. Animal Well, an action adventure game which challenges players to explore a dense interconnected labyrinth and attempt to uncover its many secrets. Again, visually looked very cool.
Mm-hmm. May 9th.
Duck Detective, The Secret Salami.
Kind of unclear. A narrative adventure in which players will need to use their powers of deduction to inspect evidence, fill in the blanks, and quack the case. Coming Switch exclusively May 23rd.
Yeah, interestingly, exclusive to Switch on May 23rd, but not really getting a lot of time to shine.
Yeah, yeah, in the showcase. That is weird.
Okay, and here's one that blew my mind.
Yes.
Another Crab's Treasure.
Still a game that hasn't come out.
But if you had asked me when we saw it, I would have said last year. I would have said 2023.
Right.
But no, it was revealed in an Indie World showcase in May 2022.
Wow.
I think that's the last time we talked about it.
No, that can't be the last time. We've seen it since then.
In another Indie World showcase, do you think? Last year?
Or like a Nintendo Direct or something?
That's what I was thinking. It's like, there's no way it's been since 2022, almost 2 years since we talked about
it. We talked about it recently because the name of the developer is Aggro Crab, and we talked about how maybe that's a better name for the game, and I don't think that happened 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
Did
it? What if it did?
I don't know. Mark, I don't know.
But that was the end of the sizzle
reel.
That's
the sizzle reel. Sizzle reel is over. Sit down, sizzle reel. You're done. And they're like, we got one more thing to show you. And it might come steaming in here at any moment. Of course, we're getting a new entry in the SteamWorld mega franchise in the form of SteamWorld Heist 2, also coming out on August 8th, 2024.
I have not played the SteamWorld Heist games. I played SteamWorld Dig 2 when that was mm-hmm. released on Switch earlier in the Switch's life. And I liked SteamWorld Dig quite a bit. I think this is like more of a It's a turn-based
game. It's a turn-based, like, tactical game, but is still, like, a, for the most part, like a 2D and, like, platform. Like, there's still, like, a height sort of thing that you have to deal with. And the first game is, you know, pretty well regarded, is, you know, among the SteamWorld like mini franchises, I think it is just second to Dig sort of being like the crown jewel of the SteamWorld franchise, or yeah, the SteamWorld whatever. What did I say? Gem of the crown? Gem of like the scepter? What has gems in them?
Yeah, a gem in a
Infinity Gauntlet?
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, that's like the, okay, so Dig is like the power gem, right? The one that can, like, or the reality gem. let's rank the Infinity Stones.
Okay.
We don't have to do that.
That's what we should do. There's an episode idea.
There's a whole episode?
Yeah. Nintendo franchises as
Infinity Stones.
This
is perfect. I'm cutting this out. So, yes, this is a new entry in the SteamWorld heist franchise. It looks like there's also, there's like, naval battles that you are like navigating in real time. It looked like seemed pretty cool. I do feel like this was the moment where our Discord sort of died. Like people were very interested in like talking about the games that were being shown off leading up to this, and then there wasn't a bunch of enthusiasm in real time amongst our audience for SteamWorld Heist 2. I know there was a little bit of like going back to it in the Discord to discuss it later. But yeah, I it's hard for me to gauge where like the excitement level is for something like SteamWorld Heist 2.
Yeah. Obviously it's a franchise that continues to persist, so it must have a pretty significant audience. But yeah, I don't really know either.
What was the name of the other SteamWorld franchise that was like a card game that came out? Is that SteamWorld? No, what is that called?
I can't remember, but it does feel like there was another pillar that, again, we heard about not that long ago.
Right, and I think this the game that I'm thinking of came out. Okay, so there's there was a SteamWorld Tower Defense in 2010, then SteamWorld Dig, Heist, Dig 2, SteamWorld Quest, Hand of Gilgamesh is the one that came out in 2019, and then SteamWorld Build came out 2023. On everything, so it's on Switch. I don't remember that one being sort of promoted to us or anything like that. And then Heist coming out this year, and then still on the docket, SteamWorld Headhunter. No one seems to know what that is. It's an action adventure game. Cool.
I'm going to pretend that the one that came out in 2023 is the one that I was thinking about, because otherwise, that would mean that the card game, which came out in 2019,
yeah,
is the one that I was like, oh yeah, that must have been 6 months ago that we talked about it.
So maybe another Crab's Treasure did with the last time we talked about it was 2022. I don't know. All right, Mark, so that was the showcase in its totality. How did you feel about this as a showcase? Did it make you feel better, worse, about the same for the rest of Nintendo's year?
I would say about the same if we're talking about Nintendo's year as a whole, but there are things on here that I am looking forward to.
Yeah, me too. It bums me out a little bit that the one that I'm most excited for is that Anton Blast game, and it's not going to come out until November.
Yeah.
But yeah, would very much be interested in what people are excited about from this showcase. So email us nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com, and we will incorporate that into our next conversation. All right, Mark, let's close this out. That is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Thanks to our 16-bit patrons, Connor McKay, Patrice Millette, David Henley, Alias X, and Kyle Seaborn. We appreciate you all so much. We appreciate everyone who's listening to the show. You don't have to. You don't have to listen to any shows, but you choose to listen to ours. So we appreciate it. If you would like to join our Discord, all you got to do is email us at nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com, and I will send you an invitation. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers saying thank you for listening.